I celebrated late September, early October's Banned Books Week a bit early this year. I didn't read Harry Potter, The Color Purple, or even Captain Underpants, all books that some have tried to keep others from reading. Instead, I read Great Reservations and The Library Diaries. If you haven't heard of either book, there's good reason, and it's not the standard book ban that's threatened libraries across the nation. Instead, Great Reservations is a book that never made it to the bookstores. Two former concierges at the Four Seasons Hotel in Chicago wrote the book and included snarky details about guests. Some names and some stories were changed, they say, but others weren't. And key here, the two authors had apparently signed a confidentiality agreement, promising to keep such things secret. The publisher withdrew the book only after reviewers received advanced copies. I found one for sale on eBay. The Library Diaries wasn't really banned either, but it has its own interesting backstory of suppression. The librarian who wrote the book was fired when her boss found out about it. That's because the book doesn't name names, but it describes library patrons so clearly, the library director claims, that everyone in the small town knew exactly who made up the so-called wall of bums or who was the craziest of crazy mothers. And those not-quite-right patrons had plenty of company. The former librarian claims that her once library is teeming with sex offenders, the mentally disabled, and people on public assistance who should not have children. In the book's epilogue, the author writes, "I have to wonder if those of you against eugenics are aware of the human suffering brought about by poor parenting. You get the idea." Most book bans are led by those who wish to close off an author's published expression for the benefit of others. They worry that Harry Potter will lead the young and naive into devil worship and sorcery, that Captain Underpants will lead to highly inappropriate behavior, and that The Color Purple will expose young readers to sexual situations without parental guidance. Those to me are the easy cases, because, as my fridge magnet proclaims, I read banned books. But here we have different sorts of suppression of expression. The first is fortified by contract. If indeed the concierges signed agreements promising not to reveal secrets, those contracts will, in effect, keep their mouths closed even if the concierges want to open them. It doesn't violate the freedom of speech to give effect to someone's own prior speech in the form of a contractual promise not to talk. But the librarian's book is a much harder constitutional matter. The First Amendment gives qualified protection to government employees who are fired for speaking their minds, though not usually for grousing about their own jobs. The Supreme Court has ruled that public employees have a right to speak out on matters of public concern unless doing so would seriously interfere with their ability to do their jobs. Should a public librarian be fired for writing a book suggesting that the mentally ill, mentally disabled, and mentally deficient not have children? What if she makes her case by describing and ridiculing the very patrons she's supposed to be serving each day at the library? If the librarian brings a lawsuit, I would bet that many librarians, traditionally strong supporters of free expression, would have qualms about finding a First Amendment right. So it's been a couple of weeks since the official Banned Books Week, enough time to reflect and decide that some book bans are more unsettling than others. I'm Amy Guida.